250 down, 250 to go. Welcome to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Alongside Ian Ferguson. I am Pat Contry. We got a fun podcast for you today. It's going to be a time. It's going to be a happening, as they would have said in the 60s and 70s. On the show today, we'll be talking about...
A real shindig.
Yes. Pigs playing video games. Always fun. N64 games on PS5 and PS4. Mm-hmm. Scalpers are upset with their PR, with their image. A Patreon poll topic, Q&A maybe, and maybe voicemails. Ian, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend?
It was good.
My life is good.
On a whim, it wasn't really on a whim.
I lied already.
I bought Super Mario 3D World for the Switch.
The updated one?
Yeah, with Bowser's Fury. I didn't play the Bowser's Fury part yet. Yeah, that was good. That was really fucking reaching.
I haven't played the second one in a while. Wow.
And going back through it again, I really do think it's one of the best Mario games. It's great.
I haven't played it.
So many people haven't played it because it was stuck on the Wii U. So I'm really happy that one finally got ported.
we talk about the Wii U like it was the Vectrex nowadays.
The Wii U,
it was just stuck on it.
Stuck on the Wii U.
Just stuck there.
It was. It's a really straightforward game. It's a lot of fun. It looks nice. I really enjoy it, and I hope more people play it and realize how great it is. Other than that, I made pot stickers yesterday. Those were good.
When I think of pot stickers, did everyone watch the Weird Science TV show in the early mid-90s?
No.
It was a decent show. It was not by 2-3 years. It had, what was her name? Vanessa Angel. She used to be like one of the hottest women ever. I think she was Australian. I don't know what she did after that. She played the character of whatever, the genie slash weird science, whatever, creation.
Yeah.
There. So whenever I hear the word pot stickers, there's a... I don't remember much from the series.
Okay.
but I don't. But I do remember that there was an episode where every episode is centered upon a wish that they had is granted.
Yeah.
One they wanted to be rock stars. So she makes them rock stars. They're in the band, the three of them. And so they have a great single. And after that, they have to come up with an album. And they can't think of one. And they're on the couch like, we can't think of songs. And the one guy who plays the Anthony Michael Hall character, the actor, is like, we could do anything. And they're eating Chinese food. And he makes up a song on the spot. And he goes, pot stickers, Mushu pork. So whenever I hear pot stickers, I will remember that exact tune from that one episode I remember. And I don't know why. Because I don't think about that show often besides Vanessa Angel. Look up Vanessa Angel if you have never heard of her. And she's no Meredith Baxter Burney, but she's close.
I don't know where the Meredith Baxter Burney thing comes from. I think you're thinking of that time that I looked up...
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Well, No.
You did.
Phoebe Cates.
Oh. No, once the time you said you were looking at Meredith Baxter Burney, specifically. Anyway. Sorry,
Ian. I don't
know
what she looks like.
So, pot stickers. Go.
Yeah. They were delicious.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So, that was my weekend. Cooking, played games. It was a good time.
I finished off playing Rogue Squadron. I started on the weekend. I finished it off on the N64. Had a great time. I like to talking with Ian. It's like our book club. What N64 game is Pat playing this week?
Mm-hmm.
I never played through it before. And it was a really good game. Really good.
Yeah, it's a fun one. That's one that I've played. I haven't played it in a long time, but I really enjoyed it. I just remember it being very challenging.
Oh, yeah. It's challenging. Oh, definitely. There's a volcano level where they throw you in a volcano, and you have to take out these little, little shield generator devices. There's like 10 of them. But there's all these missile silos all around. And the ships that are with you help a little bit, like the bare minimum, but not much. But the missile silos don't really target them as much as they target you.
Right.
So you'll hear the missiles being locked onto you like 10 in a row. And you're in your crappy, slow, not crappy, but it's slow, the Y-Wing. So you're like, oh, great. And so you got to be really careful with it. But there's a lot in that game. I'm going to write the actual review probably tomorrow. And I was impressed with it. I was impressed with the production values. The voice acting's really good. The guy kind of sounds like Mark Hamill, who plays Luke. Spoilers, you play as Luke. Not really spoilers. But he kind of sounds like him. If you, like, tilt your head, you're like, oh, it kind of sounds like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, close enough.
Better than the Wedge guy. The guy doesn't really sound like Wedge, who plays Wedge in it. And, no, it's fantastic. You don't play as the B wing though. It's the one wing you don't play as. They put the V wing in there. I don't know where the V wing comes from because it wasn't in the original trilogy. So I don't know. They stuck that one in there. Okay. And the snow speeder and the A and the Y wing.
We're going from Vanessa Angel to V wing on the Google search.
It's
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I remember the V wing.
I don't know where they came up with that.
I'm trying to remember. I shouldn't say I remember it. I don't know what the fuck it comes from. I remember seeing it.
Sure.
At this point.
It's the Alpha Nimbus Class V-Wing Starfighter on Wikipedia.com. I don't know where that first was seen.
First deployed in the final days of the Republic.
There you go. So not in the trilogy.
Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. So it doesn't even show up in movies. Doesn't even show up in movies until after this game is released.
It doesn't show up in the movies that take place after... They should have. So, like, they ignored that they had it in the original trilogy, which takes place after Revenge of the Sith. Sorry. I did that, and then I had a casualty happen. I was sitting here, I believe it was yesterday or Sunday, and there was a high-pitched whine going. I was like, was my headphones? Is it my computer? I, like, reset my computer just in case. Booted up. I looked outside. I looked all around. Like, what's happening? Is it a weird electrical problem? And then I finally focus in. When you hear like a high-pitched whine, it's hard to zero in hearing. Sure. But I finally zeroed in. And it was my rest in peace swap meet surge protector, the old ace. Audible alarm. So I had this stalwart surge protector for probably 10 years. I probably bought it for $4 at the swap meet. You can never have too many surge protectors because I run out of them.
It's true.
I own about 12. I should have 20 of them. And yeah. It went finally, and it's like burnt out by the switch. You see that?
Yeah.
So the little mini heater, I'm still without heat at Castle Country, my furnace. The heater was plugged into it, but the heat was coming in the opposite direction. So I don't think that did that. I think it just went finally.
Yeah, no, they just go.
It just went.
It did its job. It protected against the surge.
Sleep well, my dear.
Yep, sleep well.
A surge protector. Sleep well. And then I struck out on Netflix the past weekend. I mean, really struck out. We've been having luck with Richard Ramirez, Night Stalker, and then I just watched before that. What was the one I just watched a week ago that I told you about? Oh, Narcos Mexico and Narcos were fantastic.
Yeah, you watched that. I watched a couple of the true crime ones. There was some good stuff on there.
Well,
but this Cecil Hotel one was not good.
The disappearance of Elisa Lam. Elisa Lam, if you don't remember, was the Chinese Canadian tourist that went missing for like 2 weeks in L.A. in a creepy older hotel in Skid Row, and it made the worldwide news because it went viral with a video of her from the everyone's seen the it's like, oh, it's a ghost haunting this woman in the elevator, right? Everyone's seen that video. It was like 2013, about 12, 13. So it went viral. It's on YouTube. Probably has like 100 million views, this video. So it looks into the disappearance of her, but it focuses. It's a four-parter. There all have to be four parts. It focuses on the fucking creepy web sleuths that interloped and stuck their nose into the whole thing and try to. They went to the hotel. They ruined one guy. Try to ruin one guy's life. This sort of like goth, like heavy metal rock star who was into like. Themes of like murder and violence, but only in his music. And they said, "Oh, we found out you stayed at the hotel like a year before this happened." They try to ruin this guy's life. So it's like these fuck, and then they talked to a couple that one was a normal, one guy was a fucking creep. That I'll get into a little bit, but basically this was a non-story. Like this, they could have told this story about Elisa Lam in two parts, not four. Stretch it out.
One of the reasons I've avoided it so far is I can't. You can't. They weren't going to just magic up an answer. That story is a one-parter.
It's like, a one-parter.
It's a mysterious story, but I just don't think there's a whole lot you can.
But
get out of that.
But they're disingenuous in their presentation, which you should not do in a documentary, because a big thing about this, okay, this is what happened to him. These aren't spoilers. They found her dead floating in the water tank on top of the hotel.
Yeah.
It was like 19 days later, they found her. They didn't know what happened. They had her on a security camera for 2 minutes in the elevator, and then she walks away and no one saw her after that. So she climbed outside. The window was open. She opened the window, went up one stair of a ladder up to the roof, another ladder up to the water tank. There was a hatch. She went in the hatch, and that was it. She couldn't get out after that. So they presented Ian like, well, when they found her and the cops found her, the lid was on. So how did she climb in and put this 20-pound lid back on? That's impossible. That didn't happen, though. And they don't tell you that till the fourth fucking episode. The maintenance man, the janitor, when he found her, the lid was off. So once you hear that, it's like, well,
she just climbed in.
Because she was literally off her meds. She was bipolar and she was off her meds. She had a psychotic episode and she thought people were out to harm her. And they even said, they didn't feature any of her family, but then her family, they said, oh yeah, we talked to the family. They talked to the cops who investigated, and it's like, yeah, we talked to the family. He said, well, she would have episodes like that, like where she was delusional. So it's like, you can tell the police were holding back, wanting to strangle some of these fucking internet detectives. I think who the fuck they are.
Oh, sure.
And it's like, no, it was kind of open and shut. There was a couple of things that went, and there was a couple of things that were a mistake. Like the one cop mistakenly said, oh yeah, the lid was on when he should have said off. And there was a cross out on the autopsy report. They took these things, these internet sleuths, and ran with it. And so because of that, you had this, what could have been told probably in 60 minutes, took me fucking almost 4 hours to watch this. And at that point, you're in it. You're also in hour three. I'm like, what the fuck? There's nothing to tell anymore. There's nothing. And they sprinkle in this information here and there, and they repeat it too. So it's like, oh yeah, she was staying with, it was one of these weird hotels where you bunk with other people. So they sprinkled it. Oh yeah, she was bothering and creeping out her two roommates. And they mentioned that 3 times. By the fourth time I hear that, I'm like, okay, you already hinted that she was kind of nutty at this point. So why don't you just go down that route? And then, but you can't, because it's going to be a 1 or 2 hour episode instead of 4 fucking hours of me watching this thing. So don't watch it. It's obviously all these are great production values, but there's no story to tell.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine there being a story to tell with this one.
And the one creepy, I mean really creepy, surprised he went on camera, sleuth. And it's because this poor woman, she had a Tumblr still on there, detailing every part of her life, so people thought they were attached to her. This one guy was such a fucking creep, one of these web detectives, that he had someone go to her grave and had the random guy put the hand on her grave thinking it was him. And he admits this on camera in this documentary. It's like, you are fucking nuts. I cannot believe you admitted that on camera. I cannot believe that.
It's weird. Insane.
So do not watch The Disappearance of Elisa Lam. Do not. I also watched The Haunting a couple episodes, and I was shocked. So The Haunting is a reenactment of ghost stories. And I believe that it's 5 people sitting down, and they're real people sitting down and explaining the story. But then they cut away to, high production, Hollywood-level horror reenactments, where it's like, wow, this is good production values. The special effects are great. And the makeup on the monster or whatever. But that's the problem, is that when you hear a ghost story being told, a lot of people don't believe it on surface. So you want to hear from the people's mouths. What did you actually see? This will cut from the woman being saying, yeah, and then I walked in and then I saw something, and it'll cut to this Hollywood monster crawling towards her. And so I'm like, I want to hear her say that, because I don't believe what I'm seeing here. And I believe in ghosts. So it was a weird thing. But then, Ian, I never thought I'd see it. I had to rewind it. There was a nude sex scene in my ghost story. It was so gratuitous. They hired, the real life woman was a cute, kind of semi-goth looking girl, my friend Allison back in New Jersey in those early videos. So they gratuitously, we moved into the house together. Then they're making out. I'm like, okay, they're making out. Then I see her nipples and I'm like, holy, this is a fucking nude sex scene in a ghost story. What is happening? So, I mean, she was cute, but I was I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was the weirdest tone shift ever.
Odd.
Then they show her again topless. They go, oh, we got a cute actress. Might as well shoot her twice topless. They show her again in the scene. They claim that this ghost called the Mimic was mimicking. It was 5 people living in this old, creepy Cleveland house.
Uh-huh.
They claim that it would take the form of one of the other people and talk to them. So in one scene, the guy's in the basement and the cute girl that you already saw topless comes down and said, make out with me, and goes topless again. And I'm just like, are they just adding this to the story because they got a cute actress that wants to go topless? Or they want to ask her to go? Like, it was really bizarre. So I would say that's closer of a recommendation than the disappearance of Elisa Lam. Closer.
You got boobs, I guess.
And then, but I watched a couple more that got dark. Like one was like, yeah, our dad was a serial killer. We were kids living there, so everything else was haunted. But he wasn't. It was weird because it was like they claimed that he was doing satanic rituals, but he wasn't. He said he wasn't super dark until a certain point. It's like, no, he was dark killing people. Like they literally reenacted like the girl looking behind like the wood pile and seeing his dad throw a cart, like a woman, like throw a carcass into like the back bed of a truck. So I'm like, wow, this is dark and nasty. And I was more interested by the end though about, was this guy caught? Like, why didn't you tell the police about them when you grew up? You claim like he was burying bodies in the woods. I was more interested in that than the ghosts that were happening around this serial killer, alleged serial killer. So it's a strange documentary series. It's not documentary, it's reenactments.
I'm reading a recap of the episode that you were just talking about.
Yes.
This is where it gets hilarious. Becca presents herself to Brandon, gets naked, and seduces him into a smooch, at which point she reveals herself to be some kind of monstrous doppelganger and promptly disappears.
But when they when they cut back to the people that this happened to, the real-life people, the guy doesn't say any of that happened. He says, like, yeah, I was uncomfortable. So, like, did you, like, were you ashamed that you made out with your friend's girlfriend? And, like, that was, like, they implanted extra details, I think, to gussy up the story
a bit. To spice it up.
You can't do that with UFOs or
little flavor enhancer.
Ghosts. Like, it's hard for people to believe on its surface. So when I'm seeing this, I'm like, I can't believe that you made out with, the exact representation of someone else.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe also, Ian, we have a new Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League trailer.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say about it other than it looks like shit. Bad guy looks a little bit better.
Bad guy looks better. Why does everything to be hollowed ground, sort of like chanting from monks? It's silly.
Because it makes it more serious.
It's superheroes wearing spandex. And blue underwear.
It's dark and emotional. It's more serious this way.
Oh.
Why does it open with 10 seconds of Superman dying in green lightning?
That's yellow lightning.
Well, whatever.
So, what you take away from this is that a lot of this did not exist before.
No.
This was redone. A lot of this. And they reshot for, like, 30, 40 million and did new effects. It's a lot of this. It's like some similar lines, like "I gotta form a team," which they say in the crappy Joss Whedon redo, but it's all lighter tone. So it's the script's probably like 50% of what the script actually turned out to be. But then obviously they shot more, and there's a dark side there, and then the big thing at the end is that the Joker shows up, which they reshot.
Yeah,
that was not probably originally there, and they got rid of the awful damage tattoo at least, and all the shitty face prison tats on him.
I mean, they did that. That's nice.
But it's like, where do you go with this when this? They even admitted, Warner Bros., this doesn't go anywhere. This is it.
Yeah,
like, there's no continuity after this. This is the end point of something.
Listen here, Snyder Fun Club. You can have
Zack Snyder Fun Club. You get your free.
You can have your good times, but that's it.
Get your free Sucker Punch pin. You get your you get your 300 plush Leonidas plush doll with the abs.
Comes with a cheeseburger and drink and a small fry.
Has there ever been a plush doll with abs? 8-pack abs? Anyway, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Those wrestling buddies.
I mean, like, those are drawn. Yeah. I mean, like you could, like, feel each individual ass.
I'm certain. I'll get back to you in a second.
Am I being creepy now? Think about that. I'll
get back to you in 1 second.
So, anyway.
Plush abs is what I'm typing into Google.
That'll be a weird fetish thingy. You don't want to go down.
That'll go well.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was weird. Brought up Frisco Muscle Plush Squeaking Wolf Dog Toy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Muscle. These are dog toys.
Please don't go down this route, because now I got to search for it when I edit and put it in the picture here.
Frisco, look for the Frisco Muscle Plushes. They're squeaking dog toys, but I have a feeling they're not just for dogs.
Oh, God.
But you definitely get those abs that you're looking for.
Oh, my fucking God.
You definitely get the abs that you wanted.
There's a tiger. There's a rhino. There's a purple
unicorn.
Yeah, okay. Oh, there's supposed to be dog toys.
I also want to just point out that Googling plush abs brings up a video from July 24th, 2019, making a plush abs tutorial for Patreon this week. So, yes, there's lots of plush abs out there.
What do you, like, strap it on?
I don't know.
It's like a girdle, but it's plush abs.
For your fursuit.
So, anyway, the whole point is that this is going to come out. I'll probably watch it at some point because I'm very curious at how this is going to turn out. But, yeah. This isn't going to change the world. Oh, my God. He's wearing a black suit, Superman. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting, I guess. It won't be. It'll be bad. It'll be good. People who hate it will say they love it just to say they love it. That's the thing with this. It's going to come out, and there's going to be a group of people who are going to say they love it no matter what because they love the Snyder. They love the Zack Snyder.
They love him.
They love being part of his fun club.
They probably also love going to ultimatenintendo.com.
Where
you can get enamel pins, RBI baseball stickers. Final day of the sale. I forgot to do it. Final day of the sale on the limited t-shirt. 25% off and 30% off the limited pin. I'll do it today because I forgot to undo the price on it. So you get Tuesday the 16th. You can do it if you want.
It's a hell of a segue.
And the books as well. You can get the books there as well.
Get the books.
UltimateNintendo.com. And I'll be on Twitch every Wednesday at this point. Twitch.tv/ContraCode watching 80s commercials. Almost a year straight. Come out. It's a happening. That's my word of the week. The happening.
Every single Wednesday. Nintendo says some stuff. Nintendo says Switch is in its middle age.
Middle age, man.
So what's that? It's been out for
middle age, man.
Are we approaching 4 years? 4 years or five? 4 years.
2017. That'd be what was it? March? Yeah. No, was it February? Was it February or early March?
It was March. It was early March.
Like March 1st.
Or maybe
middle
it was February.
Age, man.
Good question.
You know, we're technically getting the middle age now, and that middle age man skit from Saturday Night Live with Mike Myers. He looks elderly compared to middle age. Has middle age shifted? I think the ages have shifted a bit, what we consider middle aged and
sure. And
elderly. Sorry, go on.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's funny. I turned 35 and just started saying I was 40. When I turn an age, like if it's on the 5 or the 0,
uh-huh.
I'll say I'm that age, but after that I just round up to the next one. It hurts less when I finally hit that age.
So you're saying you're 40 already?
I've been saying you're
turning 39 this year.
I'll be 39, but I've been saying I'm 40 since I was probably 36.
You know what?
36.
That's not bad.
No. How old are you? I'm 40. Oh, you look young for 40. It's because I'm naturally
okay.
Not 40. Thank
New
you.
New strategy.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
They say the Switch is in its middle ages. Which is interesting to me, because that means they think they're going to get 8 years out of it. I would have said the Switch has 2 years left before some sort of significant hardware upgrade.
You don't have to take that literally, though, like the middle being
no, you don't.
4 years left.
So I think that it's probably, I don't know that it's winding down, but I do think we have less of the Switch to go than we've already experienced. That could change. There's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, and we always miss it. And I have a feeling they're going to announce a new pro model. I don't know what they're going to add to it, though.
I don't think they're going to announce a pro model.
You don't?
No. They're selling way too many of these to need a new model at this point. You can milk this another 2 years at this point.
I mean, you can.
If it was slower sales, I mean, if they were only selling 35, 40 million, okay, we want to go back to the well. There's no well to go back to. This thing, they might shatter the Wii's record. And at that point, it's like we don't have to. We can just. I mean, look at Super Mario 3D Worlds. That's a fine looking game, right? That doesn't look old.
It is. It's a great looking game. But I still think Nintendo's going to do a half step, and there's no reason not to believe that they will. I mean, the DS had DS, DS Lite, DSi, DSi XL. The 3DS had the 3DS, the 3DS XL. The 2DS, the 2DS New XL, the new 3DS XL. Nintendo loves to iterate their fucking hardware. They've only done it once.
But this is
Switch.
A hybrid, though. So
yes, but they've only done it once. I refuse to believe that they're done
well,
iterating.
What do you mean they did it
hardware.
Once? Because they updated the battery and stuff?
No, when they did the light.
Oh, yeah, I don't count that. I count that as a side project sort of thing.
So I think we will get a new one. Maybe not tomorrow, but I think there'll be another
not
one.
Not tomorrow.
I think there'll be another
one. If I say end of the year, I more believe you than tomorrow. Tomorrow they're going to announce, well, I looked it up. It's been 2 years only. 2 years since Nintendo said we have to redo Metroid Prime 4 with Retro Studios.
Right.
Back in the helm. 2 years, that's probably, I don't know if that's enough time to do a Metroid Prime almost from scratch. Two and a half years?
I think it would be. I'm more interested in, it says that they're going to be covering some, it's 50 minutes, which is, I think, is the longest direct they've done, or it's very close to. And it will cover Smash Brothers and then other games coming out in the Smash Brothers and other games already released, and then games coming out in the first half of 2021.
Is all the DLC done for Smash Brothers?
No, there's any more still. No, there's, I think there's three more to cut. Three more characters to come out, because they're on Season Pass 2.
When they originally announced it, was there an end number of characters?
It was supposed to be 5 DLC characters, and then I think when they announced the 4th DLC character, that's when they announced Season Pass 2. And now, actually, I think they're 3 characters in the Season Pass 2. Yeah, because it was Min Min, Steve from Minecraft, and Sephiroth.
So they can keep this going forever.
They could. And honestly, I kind of hope they do. People seem to enjoy it. I wish it had better online netcode. But you're never going to get a sequel to Smash Brothers with this many characters.
No.
The next Smash Brothers is not going to have this many characters. They're not going to do it. Sakurai needs a break.
That's the reason why it's called Ultimate, right?
This is right. It. So I think it is likelier that they will just keep tacking them on. I could easily...
They're making money just tacking them on.
I could easily see another season pass. I don't know that they will, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did another.
I mean, there won't be another Smash Brothers until you get a new system. They're not going to put two Smash Brothers on the same system.
No.
So it could be 5 years until you get another Smash Brothers. It could be a bit. Be a while. Because what is it? It's been 2 years since Smash Brothers came out?
Smash Brothers as a games as a service. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
When did Ultimate come out? It came out like a year in, right? Or that Christmas? It
came out that Christmas.
So it's been 3 years. December 7, 2018. It's been 3 years, 2 months. Okay. Excuse me. That's 2 years, 2 months.
I was gonna say that didn't come out.
This is it. This is it for you. Even with a Super Switch comes out, you might get an updated version of it that looks better. Or play. You know what I mean? And speaking of the netcode, I thought I read something a while back that they're finally ripping out all their old like servers and redoing them.
Oh yeah, that's not netcode though. That's part of the handshake. But if you still have bad netcode, it's not gonna.
They have like 20-year-old server tech. They're finally upgrading.
18 years. They said something. I think that was a slight exaggeration, but yeah. It was a long time. It definitely went back to the Wii U, Wii and Wii U at the very least,
which was already old.
Yeah,
we know. But okay, Nintendo's like me at the swap meet. Wait until that shit's cheap and old, and then you buy it and then you use it.
Yeah,
and no one knows any different.
But that's what I was going to say about Metroid. I don't think they'll necessarily... If they announce it tomorrow, that'll be interesting, because that means they're going to be like, hey, here's that game we haven't mentioned in 2 years, and it comes out by summer.
Which is what we said, though. That's the way to do it.
Sure. I would love it if that's what they did, and they have kind of done that, but I don't think
with Odyssey.
They haven't done it with any. Oh yeah, Odyssey did drop pretty quick after it was announced. Also, we haven't heard much. Jesus fuck. We also haven't heard a whole lot about the new Zelda.
No, we have not. So we're gonna see one premium game.
Yes.
I don't care if it's that, or maybe there's a Star Fox they were doing secretly. You're going to hear. They're going to update the Wii U Star Fox. I mean, they just do that. We're still waiting on that. That's the big one. We're still waiting on them to do that.
The thing that always excites me about Nintendo Directs, though, is they always show some little game that looks really cool, and then they announce that it's out.
Yeah.
Like, go get it now.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing what that'll be. I'll be very surprised if there isn't a game like that.
Fire Pro on the Switch.
Oh, God. Switch Fire Pro would be perfect for the Switch.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, we'll never get it, though.
Little handheld Ian making his characters, making his Disco Inferno in the bathroom. I would do it. Disco's the first guy I always make. You think Nintendo's happy with Microsoft Edge extensions that might be pirating, allegedly, their games?
No, I think they're probably not super happy about
that. Okay, so this was brought to our attention on Twitter. Via the official Microsoft Edge Twitter account. So it wasn't just like a random person. They're like, hey, look what you can get with the Microsoft Edge is replaced Internet Explorer. It's their all-in-one web browser. And you can get extensions for it like you can get with Chrome, Is Firefox still around? I guess it is. You know, little add-ons.
I don't think anyone uses it.
Little add-ons like the Honey coupon thing, which is great. Sponsor us, Honey. I use it all the time. Or, you know, you can download videos off of YouTube. There's like all these extensions. So this was tweeting out extensions to play retro games. The problem was it's Mario Kart 64 N64 Simulator. So an official Microsoft Twitter account is advertising software piracy.
Yeah.
For that, and it was for, I think there was a Sonic game that was mentioned, and a Pac-Man game. So it's like you're running the gamut of pissing off these companies, and it's insane. And a Tetris game, yes. So it's like, I don't understand how that got past anyone. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you doing?
It's weird.
Okay, this was a tweet from the Microsoft Edge dev. It was a verified account. Calling all Pac-Man, Tetris, and Mario Kart lovers. Did you know Microsoft Edge has these plus more vintage games on the extension site? See the full list here.
I think it's probably just a case of someone got ahead of themselves, seeing if they could do something, and then talked about it and didn't realize. I mean, that's a really bad way to advertise it.
It's in this Twitter account is official news and updates for the Microsoft Edge team. I mean, it's based in Redmond, Washington, where Microsoft is. So I did not see. Did they follow up to this, or did they delete that tweet? I'm trying to find the original tweet that they had here, because that's insane. How do you think that phone call went from Nintendo? Hey, yeah, guys, get that shit down now and delete that tweet.
Was it the Super Nintendo Mario Kart?
64.
64. Seems like a weird one to...
It was from February 12th, 9:48 p.m. I'm going to see if that tweet's up. February 12th, 9:48. Oh, no, it's gone. It is gone. It is not up.
So, oh, okay.
Oh, it's gone.
Makes sense.
That was probably gone within. I'll say Price is Right rules 80 minutes before.
80 minutes
before a lawyer, one of Nintendo's lawyers, got on.
I'll go 55.
55 minutes.
Yeah, 55 right. minutes. We'll no, never no. get an answer, but
because I couldn't believe that when I saw that, I couldn't believe that.
No, that's
blatant infringement.
That's
and piracy.
Crazy.
And so, yeah, that's a cute story. I wonder. What head rolled at Microsoft for that? Like, who was, or they said, okay, was it like an intern that tweeted that out, not realizing that there's like pirate, like maybe a 22-year-old intern doesn't realize that, hey, software piracy for these old games is a thing, or they assume that because it was an extension that someone approved it. To be honest, wouldn't an extension have to be approved? So there's a lot of heads that could roll here.
Yeah.
A lot of heads that could roll here. This is like how there's Android emulator apps with ROMs built in, allegedly.
Right.
How do those get approved?
Just, I guess, flying under. I mean,
because a robot approves them.
Robot approves them. People don't care.
From my experience with the apps, it is harder to get something on iOS. It sounds like with Android, it is like rubber stamped for the most part. It tests for things.
Just...
Yeah, it's not even a person doing
right.
a lot of those. So, all right. Well, that's interesting.
Wanted to show you something real quick.
God damn it! Don't show me that plush. Now you got to email me that picture. Now.
I'm going to right now.
I need a reaction.
I'm literally working on it right now.
You need to show me some plush man-size abs and chest. Is that a woman just hanging out with it there?
Muscle boyfriend six-pack abs plush pillow cushion from Brainless Pie.
This is like a nice down-to-earth woman hanging out with it. Like that's how it would really happen.
Set up your guest room just with like six of those.
Is it headless? It's just a torso?
It's just like a neck nub. It's literally just a torso.
Is that creepy or less creepy than having a head?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. I got to take my mind off it. Palate cleanser. Pigs can play video games with their snouts.
Pigs can play video games with their snouts. This is pretty cute.
This is the most important news of the century.
I got to close this picture. Okay.
Holy shit.
So
now you got to send me that because I got to put it up. I got to horrify everyone.
I'm sending it.
You're making my editing a little harder, this podcast.
So pigs can play video games. There was a study done. Basically, they took a like a treat dispenser.
Pennsylvania State University did a study. Four pigs, Hamlet, Omelet, Ebony, and Ivory.
Great names. And they put a little joystick on there, an arcade joystick, and from what it looks like, there's a screen, and basically there's a dot on the screen, and then there's a wall. And if the pig moves the dot into the wall, it counts as a collision or a hit, and they get a treat. And
oh, they don't have to avoid it. They have to hit it.
They have to hit it. Yeah, that's what they have to do. That's basically it's a target. It's a very, very crude target practice game for pigs. I've just got the giggles.
Researchers said that the fact that figs understood the connection between the stick and the game is no small feat. So it's they have to get to the joystick.
Yes.
And then do it.
So they understand that there's a connection between not only the treat and, doing the action in the treat, but also between doing something specific.
Yeah. It's not like they just rang a bell.
So not all the pigs were particularly great at that. I think one of them only had like a 34% success rate, but there was another one that was one of the pigs, I think, was closer to like a 70% success rate. Yeah, the important thing is that they understand the connections. It's not so much the success rate that's important. It's that they understand the connection. But they said even when the...
this is adorable.
Yeah. Even when the treat dispenser broke, they still did it to get the reaction from the humans.
They're like, oh, good on you, Omelette.
Yeah, you did it.
And the thing's like, yeah, I'm killing this game.
Fucking great.
This is fun.
Pro gamer for real.
Gamer.
It's very cute. They said, obviously, that pigs do not play video games as well as humans do.
Oh, okay. I'm glad they clarified that.
Or even some lesser primates.
Kind of tough with the hoofs, right?
They said that it's been done that the... they did basically the same experiment with primates, and obviously the primates had a much higher success rate.
Hamlet was better than Omelette, but both struggled when it got harder, hitting the single target just under half the time. I want to see a video of this. How did this actually function? Was there like a moving target that they had to just push the ball into, or was it just there they had to just push it?
From what I could gather, it was literally there's a screen, a dot in the middle, and then one end of the screen is a wall. And if they push it, and I think they said they did different ones too. There was like three target, two target, and one target.
So the pig realized I got to hit the target. It's not the same exact action. May I go left this time or down or up?
Yeah.
Or right. So yeah, that's intelligence.
It's significant. Yeah.
No, pigs are regarded as smarter creatures. So I wish the bacon wasn't so tasty. I always feel guilty.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. It's now people are realizing it's not going to be artificial meat. It's going to be cultured meat formed from cells of real meat.
Yeah.
Replicated. That's the end goal there.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to get to.
Lab-grown bacon.
Yes. But it's real bacon. It's not fake bacon. We're getting there.
It's not faking.
It's not faking. We're getting there. Because, no, I feel more and more... I'm not going vegan on you, but if we cannot eat animals, we should not eat animals. If we can get to that point. That's all. That's
no,
all
it's definitely an admirable goal.
I'm not saying
goal.
Give it up today because people will go hungry and starve. If we can get to that point, we should do it. We should. And plus, it's better for the environment by a lot, by a ton.
Pot stickers I made yesterday were vegan.
Pot stickers, Mushu pork.
When there was no pork.
Mushu pork. Has anyone have seen that Weird Science episode except for me? That was my thing. That was my jam in high school since I have any friends. Really, in high school, no parties. It was Weird Science followed by Duckman Saturday Night. And Duckman is such an underrated cartoon no one ever talks about for some reason. That was a really fun cartoon.
I remember it.
Did a lot of stuff, a lot of racy stuff and adult stuff. And Jason Alexander was a great voice actor in that. And a great show.
He is really, yeah. He is
but him
really
and the,
good.
And the what was his pig sidekick's name? That talked like this. Hey, Mr. Duckman. It's a great show. No one ever talks about Duckman. Everyone talks about King of the Hill. They talk about Simpsons. Duckman was a great show.
Corn fed.
And they had the little plush little ones that Duckman always go off on. Good morning, Mr. Duckman. And he would just like tear them apart because they were plush. And then, next episode they were back together.
Yeah. Yeah, corn fed. Talks like Sergeant Friday on Dragnet.
Yes, very by the book. But, he was the one who saved the day, while Duckman was just, belligerent, just buffoon, which was funny with Jason Alexander doing the voice. We've gone all over the place with USA Saturday Nights in 1994, Pat's Memories.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Is there anything else going on here? Oh, yes. We got trolled. We apparently got trolled by the CEO of a video game company. Allegedly. So the claim, we talked about the, so fucking silly. It's silly. So we pointed out the inverted controls of the Finnegan Fox gameplay trailer and why it probably happened to cover up a potential bad lag on this controller and this console. And then it kind of blew up a little bit, much as this sort of news can blow up, because no one's really talking about the television Miko outside of some YouTubers. And the CEO, in one of his interviews with one of his shill cultists, says, you can't make this up, that I did it on purpose to not troll everyone, to troll Ian and me. Like that it was planned to do that.
I only have, I said it to you the minute it happened, and I'll say it again. You only have two choices here. You only have two choices here. Either Tommy Tallarico is lying through his teeth because he refuses to admit any mistakes. And that's actually the explanation I'm going to go with. Or you have a CEO who's so caught up in what people are saying that he would release an official video that makes his game look bad to troll two people. And the
gambit is that we would actually see it.
Yes.
Yes. And discover it and talk about it. Because what if we don't? Now you're just making your product look like shit. And potentially deceiving customers, and potentially pissing off all your investors, and potentially pissing off your retail partners online in Europe and in North America. Are we for real?
So before sitting down today,
is this happening?
I looked at some of the reaction to it, and there was some reaction to it, and people are very upset. And he keeps saying,
"Oh, people cancel pre-orders because of this."
But it's a joke. But it's a joke. If you don't see the humor in this, I don't know what to tell you. And he said something, basically someone said that, you know, there was my main problem is a misleading video on the official channel. And he said, I wasn't misleading anyone. I was just trolling a couple of bullies and racists.
Oh, racist, huh?
They're racists. They're literally gaming racists.
You can't make a video so that only we see it.
Only we respond to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's going to see it. You can't be like, no. It's supposed to be funny to you guys, but something else to them. No, you put it out there for the whole world to see. You showed your whole ass.
Yeah. I'm sure that all the investors on republic.co would be fucking thrilled.
They think it's
to
hilarious.
Yeah. People that have invested $5,000, $10,000, or $20,000 into your console project first of all, you're lying about it, but if you're not, that you're dicking around with two YouTubers and podcasters with not a sizable audience to really affect sales of anything at all when it comes to this console. Are you fucking
lying.
Crazy?
I mean, you look at him.
Of course, he's lying.
He has no idea what he's doing.
But why would you? Why don't you just admit? Yeah, they were inverted. I saw another claim where they were locked in, so we went with it to toy with people. And it's like there was a follow up to they showed the only decent fucking games. The breakout one, where this time Tommy has the controller correctly placed with the D-pad on the right. I guess the gyroscope is broken, which is not good for your console, by the way. And then it doesn't show him using it at all to play. So he learned his lesson after the backlash about how you should not try to deceive and trick people who have pre-ordered your console and are trusting that you know how to run a business. More importantly, your investors that are giving you money thinking that you are competent enough to run a business and to not do foolish things and show a lack of judgment like this. It's insane. It's insane. We never got this far with the Caligula Chameleon. We were called drunken podcasters, but Mike never said, yeah, I put the Super Nintendo Mini in the Jaguar shell to fuck with Ian and Pat.
To troll them.
To troll us.
Okay, Tommy.
We never got that far. I know what it was, Ian. This is what Tommy should have just admitted. This is what he should have admitted. The reason the controls were inverted is because we finally figured out the Karma gaming engine. So it automatically knew I'd play too well with the controls normally, so they inverted them for me.
That's exactly it.
That's what. Oh, by the way, the Karma gaming engine, I think he admitted in an interview, was just total bullshit as well. There was a sound clip of that. So, of course. There you have it. It's ridiculous.
Oh, please. I mean, take a freaking joke, people. Like, seriously, take a joke.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right. Ian.
Yeah.
This was news that came up that was kind of surprising, but all kind of cool. We can shoot this off in a different direction here. Not as cool as plush abs, though. N64 games could be coming to the PS5 and PS4. PS4 reportedly getting two classic N64 games this month. This is from comicbook.com. So what's going on is that it was discovered last July out of nowhere. Trophies for Turok were posted to the back end of the PlayStation Network. At the time, trophies didn't pop for the sequel, but many expected the pair of games would come together in remastered form because that's how they were recently released in Xbox One and Nintendo Switch. So they're referring to the original Turok Dinosaur Hunter that came out in 97. Via Iguana, remember Iguana Entertainment? They did the NBA Jam port. And
yeah, they're a subdivision of Acclaim, I believe.
So, it's interesting because we're getting to that mode where these classic retro games are no longer just purely being associated. This happened for a few years now. They're not purely being associated with that original console. They're spinning off and getting re-releases. They're getting other consoles. I mean, you have the Rare games now are showing up on Microsoft consoles, for example.
Yeah, it's strange because I think for a long time people associated Rare with Nintendo, specifically the Nintendo 64. If you had mentioned Banjo-Kazooie, say, before the Xbox One generation, I think people probably would have looked at that as not a Nintendo property but close to it, a second party game essentially on the Nintendo 64. But now, as you know, Rare has aligned essentially with Microsoft. They put this out. Now people are starting to think of games like Banjo-Kazooie. They're associating them with the Xbox, or at this point now they're associating them with the Switch again because of Smash Brothers. So, it's interesting to see these games that were made by second party companies at the time, or even third party in the case of Acclaim, but the game was only for the 64, get new life again on other consoles and kind of change how we remember them.
Yeah. So the first one was Rare Replay. Would you say to be the big first one? I was like, well, this is the first time we're seeing a lot of retro games from various consoles from under one dev at the time. Now it's being released. Here, NES games. Was there any Super Nintendo games in there? I forget, but NES, N64, and other games.
NES and N64. I don't think there was necessarily anything Super Nintendo on there.
Yeah, we got Cobra Triangle was on there?
I think so, yeah.
And Snake Rattle and Roll
was on there. Snake Rattle and Roll was on there.
Obviously, Battletoads you got going on. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So that's going to be a thing that happens, and it looks like the Turok 2. So the other thing is that you have these companies from we were seeing this with with these companies gobbling up these old IPs like Pico Interactive. Well, in this case, these are IPs that are more worthy. So if these companies are sold or these IPs are sold, you're more likely to see these appear elsewhere. They're not tied. I think people sometimes incorrectly tie games to the console when they realize that, well, they're not made by the people making the console.
They tie it to the console as opposed to the developer.
Yeah, like Contra is not a Nintendo game.
Right.
It appeared on a Nintendo console, but Contra can appear anywhere else.
I find that this happens the most, more than any other system. I know I've brought it up on here before, but with Atari, You go, oh, yeah, Atari. People go, I love Atari games. Pitfall and Kaboom. And it's like, no, you're what? Listing Activision titles.
Pac-Man? No.
Pac-Man? Yeah, nope.
Nope, keep going.
That's exactly.
I'll tell you when to stop.
It's not that Atari didn't have any good games. They sure did. They had stuff like Centipede and Asteroid.
Yeah, Circus.
Yeah. I like Circus Atari quite a bit.
Can't even say with a straight face. That's like the name.
But, yeah, I mean, they had their own games, but they're not... First of all, the weird thing for me with Atari
Asteroids.
Was their best games, Atari's best games, never translated well to their home consoles because their arcade games always had usually fairly unique control setups. Yes. Multiple buttons for Asteroids, trackballs for Centipede and Missile Command, spinners for things like Tempest and Gravatar. So I think Gravatar had a spinner.
So Asteroids kind of worked, though, because Asteroids was just rotating and thrust.
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely make Asteroids work.
And back might have been hyperspace. Down might have been hyperspace. I forget.
You would have been getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You had 5 switches, so...
That works. Atari, you couldn't think of a second button? Like, just one more button, buddies. You would have done so much more with one more button. Just one.
Did you ever play... speaking of like getting past that one button hurdle, did you ever play Ghostbusters or really play Raiders of the Lost Ark on the Atari?
Oh no, I'm sure that's hell on earth, though.
Oh, you have to sit in front of the system, you play Ghostbusters, so, you like flip the switch to bring up one inventory, you hit another switch to like me. It's absolutely insane.
So Atari put 6 switches on the front of their console, like 3 of which you probably never used, but one button on their joystick. I don't want to turn this into an Atari bash session, but oh my god, one button. That was like they were the last ones to do that, I believe. One button after that. They figured that out after that. Like, what? This is crazy. The Odyssey 2 had 2 buttons, didn't it? Or was that one?
Odyssey 2 had 2 buttons. 5200 had 2 buttons, too.
And then the keypad. Everyone else had the keypads. Yeah. So it was really Atari. That was it.
Technically, the 5200 had 4 buttons, but I think it was just the same 2 buttons repeated on each side.
But none worked, so it doesn't count.
No, they did.
The side buttons never worked. You had the claw going. And...
fucking mushy-ass side buttons.
Sorry, Atari. Give me 2 buttons, buddies. We're talking about this out of control. So the whole point is that this has become more and more news about these old retro properties that appear in these consoles that they didn't originally. The company they appear on, there's no connection anymore.
Right.
It's happening more and more.
Yeah. If there's ever a GoldenEye remake fully released, if that were to ever happen, would be another instance of it. We were talking about that last week. Would have put that on the 360, you would have lost the Nintendo... the association.
Yeah, that's a mess. There's like 3 or 4 different rights you have to clear for that. Are you a fan of the original Turok? I remember playing a little bit. My cousin had it because they had every game, those 3.
I played it briefly. I remember going, oh, this is interesting. I like the idea of running around hunting dinosaurs, but...
The people know what Turok was when that game came out. I know it got...
No,
it was,
I don't think they did.
The Valiant comic was pretty big, but Valiant was already starting to die out by 97.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't know it was based on a comic until I met Vani, probably.
You can say Valiant was the original Pico Interactive. They just took all these characters out of Mothballs that no one cared about for 30 years and reintroduced them.
Yes.
With Solar... Solar, Turok, these are all Charleston and other comics from the 50s and early 60s. Was it the robot Magnus robot fighter? Another one. These were all characters no one cared about anymore, and they reintroduced them into their own universe. I liked Harbinger, though. They're sort of X-Men ripoff, but
oh yeah, yeah,
almost X-Men. I forget the difference between them and X-Men, but they're basically X-Men. They're more like grounded powers. They're not shooting laser beams out of their eyes with that. Sorry, people loved Valiant back for those 3 years.
They did the Nintendo comics.
Before.
No, those were fun.
That was it. They built their bones on Nintendo and then came out with Magnus Robot Fighter to carry the torch.
Exo Manowar.
He didn't exist, but that was a new one. That's an Iron Man.
Yeah.
How did they do an Iron Man crossover with that? The video game. How did that happen?
I have no idea.
Why would Marvel was really in bad shape in the late 90s. I guess they were signing up. They were going bankrupt. Like, yeah, sure. We'll do it with a competitor.
It's a Game Boy game, too. Was there a Super Nintendo version as well?
It was a PlayStation or Saturn, one of those disc consoles. But that to me was always shocking that there was an Exo Manowar because it's basically Iron Man. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Iron Man, Exo Manowar in heavy metal. It was on the Saturn.
Saturn, that's what it was. Yeah, that makes no sense at all, because there was never a comic crossover between Marvel and Valiant that I know of.
God, that game looks real bad.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I think that's something that people also don't realize in this age of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is Iron Man was not a huge character until the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He was a B player. It was always B.
I mean, he was around. People liked him, but he wasn't.
He was B.
He was not the A. Yeah, he was not.
Wasn't
an
even B plus. He was B.
He was not an A team player until. Yeah, it was in my memory. Yeah, he's
second tier with Daredevil. Mm-hmm. You know, like, these are second tier characters, not for sure. All right, that's all the juice we got out of this topic. We barely talked about Turok at all.
Hey, we squozed the juice. We squozed it.
All right, Ian. Scalpers are having a bad time.
Yeah, a listener brought this to our attention yesterday. It's a light week for topics, so we'll discuss this. PlayStation 5 scalpers aren't happy with their public image. Boo-hoo!
So, grab some plush abs and cry your face in like a pillow.
Bury your face in some plush abs and get over it, Slappy. So it starts off talking about how basically, you know, people are having, especially right now during the pandemic, people are, you know, they want something new to do. The new systems like the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X are out, and people are having a tough time getting a hold of them because scalpers keep buying them all up.
With bots.
With bots, and then flipping them for, you know, extra money. So, you know, they're supposed to be going, I think this article is written in UK parlance, so
it's written in Middle English,
yes.
Shakespearean English.
So £450, I think, is what they're saying is what it costs, and you know, some people are flipping them for £700 to £750.
Pat me $1,000.
So this article talks to a couple fellows, Jordan and Reagan, who
via Forbes,
who work for a cook group. They co-founded The Lab, a private group that advises paying users on how to scalp, how to create a cook group. Here's the quote. There seems to be
a lot.
It's so hard. There seems to be a lot of bad press on this incredibly valuable industry. And I do
what?
Not, that's like, you really try it hard from sentence one. Seems to be a lot of bad press on this incredibly valuable industry, and I do not feel that it is justified. All we are acting as is a middleman for limited quantity items. Says Jordan, who co-founded The Lab. Essentially, every business resells their products. Okay.
My head's going to explode.
Let me just finish this one. Tesco, which is a grocery store over there, for example, buys milk from farmers for 26 pence or so per liter and sells it on upwards of 70p per liter. No one seems to complain to the extent as they are currently doing towards themselves. Because it's not the fucking same!
Oh my god, my head. And these are arguments that people have with us all the time. Like, what's the difference between scalpers and fucking Best Buy selling you TVs? Let me tell you the fucking reason. Right, my head's going to fucking explode from all these comments. My head's going to explode.
Yeah, it's insane.
Let's start. First of all, it's not a fucking industry. You're not making anything. You're not an industry. You're not creating anything. It's not an industry. You don't know what the word industry means. Okay. Every business resells a product. Okay. You have manufacturers, creators of products, and you have wholesalers that get it out to the public. The reason why this exists is because the manufacturers do not have the wherewithal, or they're not in the business of actually selling to everyone.
Yeah.
They need someone to set up a storefront or online store to sell to everyone else.
They don't have the pipelines and everything set up.
Marge and Billy can't go 100 miles to the milk farm and get milk, but they can go to the supermarket and buy it there. So that is a essential part of the chain of getting the product to market and to the person. What you are doing, Jordan, is you are artificially inserting yourself where you don't need to in order to create a barrier to people to get your product. So if I want to buy from an online store, they have the product already. That's the end goal. I can go to Best Buy website or go to Best Buy in the store, and the and it's from the manufacturer, and it's there for me to purchase. They, that's the service they provided. They provided the service. They mark it up because they can buy a bunch of them. The manufacturer makes money, and now it's marked up so they can make money, and I get my product.
The PlayStation 5 on GameStop or Amazon or whatever is the milk in the supermarket. It's yes. already there. We don't need another supermarket in between.
What you are doing is you are going into the store and buying all the gallons of milk and then setting up shop in the supermarket's parking lot and then upcharging it to the degree that you want.
And then acting like it's a valuable step.
That's if you want to go there, Jordan, that's the metaphor here. Or if I guess if you can buy milk online, you are using bots to buy all the milk online, and then I can't get milk.
You're a shitty little scum fuck, Jordan.
There's a weird. This happened with a person. I won't say who it was, but when we did our scalping story about 6-7 weeks ago, right after Christmas, there was a YouTuber / podcaster who I did a podcast with had a problem with us talking about scalping. And it was one of these arguments, these fucking thought exercise people that are, well, you're not thinking about the service they provide. And they start to bring out, they start to like try to go into financial theories about, well, if you have the supply restricted, that's actually good. And here's why. When you are artificially restricting a market, you are doing so much damage, not just to the end consumer, but you're also doing potential damage in some cases to the manufacturer because they don't even know how many are really selling. They don't even know that their product's popular or not in some weird cases. So there's not really an advantage to scalping if you want to go down that route. There's always a weird theory about, well, if you raise prices, that controls the market better. No, it doesn't. You're restricting it to only a certain amount of people can buy it then. Less people can get your product in theory. When you do that, I'm just over these fucking thought exercises for scalping.
Raising the price on something is not providing a valuable service.
It's not an industry,
any way, shape, or form. There's literally no value being added.
It's not an industry to buy a scalping bot or set it up and to run it.
If you hadn't bought that, they could have bought it for a cheaper price. You are actively being a problem,
and a lot of times they are. You are yes, they're clicking. Oh, I'm going to click checkout, and within 10 seconds they can't because the bot got it in a second. You're telling me that's an industry? What value are you providing by restricting the supply artificially?
People will bend over backwards to make themselves feel better about being absolute scumbags.
What is the value provided? Oh, we're getting it to people that couldn't get it. Yes, because
you made the problem.
You bought all the milk.
You created the problem.
You bought that $3 gallon of milk, and now you want $5.50 for it. Which people try to do with the chicken sandwiches at Popeyes last year. I read people were trying to buy all the Popeyes.
Oh yeah, I saw two dudes standing outside with huge bags of chicken sandwiches trying to sell
them. They probably didn't sell any.
No, because that's a fucking dumb idea.
We're not buying your $20 chicken sandwich that should cost us $4. We're not doing that.
So here's towards the end of the article. This is where I wanted to make sure I touched on this. Both Reagan and Jordan say, so they flip it. Instead of providing a valuable service, by the end of the article, Jordan and Reagan have changed their minds.
Okay.
We are ultimately helping people. We're helping people by giving them financial opportunities to resell consoles at an inflated price. I mainly just try and help others now. That's all that really matters to me.
You're fucking,
okay,
you're
fuck
fucking,
off.
You're fucking Robin Hood.
Are you kidding me? You're a hero. The whole group came about near the start of the first UK lockdown. It makes me so happy that I can help people make some extra money for themselves. Uh-huh. You know what would be great? If people who are fucking going through lockdown had the entertainment devices that they wanted to buy for themselves to get through lockdown.
And this YouTuber had a problem with me, podcaster, because they were like thinking, I brought up the fact that, he said like, oh, people can wait to get it. And I said, well, imagine if you have a kid that really wants a PS5. And you know, and he really wants it, and kids really want stuff. Whether it's Tickle Me Elmos back in the day, a parent's going to want to do something to get their kid the gift they want.
Right,
they will spend more money. And then his little fucking snarky ass reply, which he like quote tweet, one of these quote tweet assholes. He said, "Imagine basing your entire economic theory on what your 8-year-old thinks." It's like don't ever have fucking kids then ever, because. The worst thing in the world I can imagine being a parent is if my kid wants something and I can't get him that gift.
Sure.
Because kids aren't as rational as you, economic theory 40-year-old. They're fucking children. And yes, while in theory you can say to an 8-year-old, you can wait a couple of months. All they're thinking about is, great, all my friends are playing this new game, or they have the new console, and I'm the one left out, or I want this. So,
Regs and Jords over here, I think they felt like maybe that this like interview was getting away from them, because this is the last thing
they, they really think that this interviewer from Forbes wanted to learn about their industry?
Right. We do a lot for charity as well.
Oh, God.
I myself, or collectively as a group, donate to charity almost monthly at this point. Uh-huh. Most notably, over the past month, we donated a large portion of our membership fees to a food bank local to me.
Oh, membership fees for their little industry group?
I asked for details of the food bank to confirm Reagan's donation, but he didn't provide their information.
So the author said, okay, that's, hey, he mentioned it. I want to follow up, do my due diligence as a reporter, as a journalist, and it wasn't provided.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't bring up that shit. Just don't.
Don't.
Just don't.
We've both mentioned it on here before. Nothing, I hate nothing more than people who do bad and fall back on giving to charity.
Sure.
You know who gives to charity? Nearly fucking everyone.
A lot of people give to charity.
Gives to charity. And it's good. Give to charity.
Yes.
Help where you can. But don't use it as a fucking fallback plan so you can go out and be shitty and then be like, but I donate to charity.
Hey.
It takes nothing but the money.
Hey. Hey, the mafia bosses are giving out turkeys, you know, for Thanksgiving. Yeah. We don't know how they got the money for the turkeys. We don't care. But it's charity.
It's charity. So...
Hey, that drug cartel rebuilt that neighborhood. We don't know how they got the money, but, you know, it's good that they're doing that. You can't go down that road. You can't.
So, anyways, yeah, I don't know. Going through this article again just made me angrier. I think angrier than I was the first time. It's really just dog shit. It's awful. The absolute mental acrobatics you have to go through to be like... Yeah, no, what I'm doing is actually good.
Yeah.
Making buying stuff hard for people is actually good.
I'm a good person.
I give to charity almost monthly at this point, kind of, but definitely the past month, but I can't show you any receipts.
And I can't prove it, but I do it.
Yeah, but I do it.
I do it.
Fucking stub your toe, you piece of shit.
It's also the
I hope you kick a wall.
Kicking a wall hurts, Ian.
It does. It sucks. That's why I wished it on him.
You never want to stub your toe. Get turf toe. turf toe, that's a thing.
Turf toe. I know Mahomes had it during the Super Bowl.
Mahomes had it during the Super Bowl, so I couldn't run around. What was I going to say? Turf toe. It's also on these retailers' websites that have better security, because they talked about having like this in the UK, there's this, I guess, security where they send you to another website after you input your credit card to make sure it's you. Some websites have it, some don't. When I buy from a website in the U.S., I know people hate, like, I'll click on all these boats, and then sometimes they're not really a boat, and you have to redo it. But
I hate it when it's click on like the traffic lights,
yes,
or something. Any of them, really. But when there's like a sliver, just a sliver.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't have to be 100%. Probably 90%.
No, you're allowed to miss one or two.
But why can't we input that for when you're doing checkout for these? Not every item on Walmart.com or Best Buy. Some of them. And then the bots would just break. Just input the security. Read the squiggly line, which I think bots can do. But, you know, the identify all the bicycles. Or just do that, and that would get rid of the bots for some of these items. Just click a button on Walmart. Oh, if you're buying the PS5 or Xbox Series S or X, you have to do one more step. And then it'd be fair game. That's all. But I'm done. I'm fucking done with these overly fucking logical, non-empathetic assholes when it comes to this stuff. I'm just done with you as people when it comes to this or anything else when it comes to social or political or economic issues. We're not all fucking Vulcans. People live...
Emotion is a real thing that people deal with every day. It needs to be taken into account.
And all those people that say that, I'm like, okay... How logical is your religion or who you got married to?
Right.
Where's the logic in that, asshole? It's emotional. The fuck? People live upon emotions. We survive upon emotions, not just logic. Yes, logic's a part of it. And being rational is a part of everyday living. But emotions come into everyday life. You have to keep it in check sometime, but you cannot deny that they exist. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Ian.
Patrick.
We have a Patreon, don't we?
We do. Patreon.com/CU podcast. You go. You pledge money. I do writings every week. Recently, I talked about... Oh, I talked about getting yelled at the supermarket.
I didn't read the entire thing. I skimmed it. But it seemed like there was a reversal there.
It was a little bit of a reversal. I realized that maybe I'm a little snippy.
You got... In general, or at that person working?
No, I can be snippy when I'm at work, and I just tried to let it roll off. You can go read the story right now.
Yeah, I'm curious. I gotta read it.
CU podcast.
I'll buy into the Patreon to read it.
We also do
you get the full video
full
podcast.
Topics, full video topics, Ian, and a hangout. I'm doing it this Sunday, 10 a.m.
with plush abs on.
Plush abs on.
And here's our Patreon poll topic for this week. In second place, this is a good one. What Atari era games would you want to see a modern remake of? 42%. And in first place, Ian, 58%. This is an interesting one. We saw someone tweet this out, potentially. What game would you rent out a movie theater screen to play? Now, I didn't know this was happening, but this is happening in at least one chain reported somewhere in the South that they are allowing you up to 20 people to rent out a movie theater chain, and you can play video games. You can have a time. Of course, you cannot bring in your own food and drink like a stadium because that's how they make their margin, their money. You know, they want you to buy your $17 large jumbo popcorn and your $6.95 64-ounce drink that you really don't need. We talked about that.
Because your $12.95 IPA.
The ones that have beer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because our bladders are way too small. No one needs to drink 64 ounces of anything in an hour and a half movie. But
absolutely not. I mean, you're paying to have the movie ruined for you when you buy a drink that size.
Twice I had to go take a piss during watching a movie where I was pissed that I had to piss. And it's because I got the fucking drink.
So I do a lot. I've got some movie theater pseudoscience that I run through my head.
Ian science?
Yeah, if I find myself
Ian science?
Drinking a bit too much from the pop cup, I'll gobble down some extra popcorn.
Where it'll absorb. I don't know if it works that way, Ian, but maybe.
I don't think it does. But I tried to get the popcorn.
I'm going
to
eat a sponge. And that'll absorb all the diet Dr. Pepper.
I tried to get the popcorn in there to soak it up so it doesn't trickle down.
Right.
You don't want that to trickle down during the movie.
Be peeing out popcorn kernels.
Ow!
So anyway, so the theater chains in the U.S. and South Korea are letting gamers plug into their screens. First story they heard in GameSpot. In the U.S., it's Malco Theaters is letting customers book screens for two hours at $100 or 3 hours for $150. That's not bad at all. $50 an hour?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Up to 20 people per theater, no outside food or drinks. And in South Korea, it's limited theater capacity up to 50% because they got to fucking hold of this and handle their shit with COVID, unlike us. So it's more people. 2 hours, $90 prior to 6 p.m., and then after 6, it's $135. So there's a video on here, Ian. People are playing Mario Kart 8. On the big screen.
Well, that's funny because that probably would have been that's one of my choices.
But it's the Wii U, not the Deluxe. They're playing on a Wii U.
Oh,
so they have to plug it into the projector. So the projector, I guess, has to have either component or HDMI input to there, which I guess nowadays they do.
That's fairly common.
Oh, there's the back of it. Oh, this one doesn't. This is the AV Cinema Scaler Pro 3. It has DVI. I don't see an HDMI on this. I'm sure you can get an adapter, then you get lag. But they're playing Mario Kart 8. So, Ian, what would you want to rent out? Would it be Mario Kart?
Mario Kart 8 is one of the two games that I've picked. Mario Kart 8, for sure. One, because I love it. Two, just the sensation of that speed and that movement on a big screen.
The York sensation?
Yes. I like York peppermint patties. I know a lot of people
underrated candy.
It is, very much so. Mario Kart 8 would be cool. I think the sense of speed would be a lot of fun on a big screen. And the big screen is perfect for the split screen games because you're not looking at... You're not looking at a fucking postage stamp. You're getting something bigger than most than any home TV.
Yeah,
you won't notice the other part
of the screen. You'll be looking at your quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it would be perfect for that. That would be a lot of fun. I'm just a big I always say Mario Kart 8 is the game I hate as much as I love it, and it's true. I would absolutely love to play that and yell at friends on a big screen. The other one that I'd want to do is I'd like how fighting games look on big screens.
Oh, yes.
When you get to the point where like they're like, you know, human size.
I can imagine those tournaments like Evo, once you get to like those big fights where like being blown up is like, it's cinematic.
King of Fighters 13 is the one that I would pick specifically. I think it's one of the prettiest games ever made. It was the last one they did with sprite work. It took them forever. I think they said people would work on each character for about a year to get the full moveset animated in that game. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It took them a lot of time, a lot of people working on individual characters' movesets. I would love to see that on a big screen. Definitely some other ones, I'm sure, but those were the first two that came to my mind. Literally, Mario Kart 8 was the first thing I thought of, though.
Okay, so it has to be a game that's split screen, right? It makes the most sense if it's a multiplayer, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to sit there by yourself.
You don't have to. If you go by the question, just rent out a movie theater.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be funny. Speaking of, since we brought up the last three podcasts, playing the original N64 GoldenEye would be hysterical on a big screen.
Yeah, it would.
Because you blow up those chunky polygons.
The warts laid out.
It'd be hysterical to see like the pasted on faces onto the polygons, for example. The chunkiness. You still have all the slowdown when there's four players. When an explosion goes off, it goes down like four frames a second at most. I think it'd be actually funny to witness that on a big screen.
Yeah, that would
There'd
be
something funny about playing mid to late 90s games like that on a big screen like that.
And like we said with the Mario Kart 8, one of my biggest problems about playing GoldenEye multiplayer was always trying to figure out what the hell's going on in my little quadrant. It might actually be more fun.
Yeah, back in the day, I guess the biggest TV I ever played GoldenEye was probably like a 27-inch. Like
in
some kid's basement. That's not big enough.
No.
That's not big enough. You're seeing like, 7 inches, diagonal maybe, or what have you. Pat math, 27, 14 inches. That's not big enough.
So those would be fun with people, but
13 inches.
Like you had said, it doesn't have to be with a group. I could see some hardcore like RPG fans like getting to the end of like an RPG and then being like, all right, I'm going to rent out this theater. I'm going to play the last 3 hours of this RPG on a big screen. I'm just going to finish it off on the big
screen. People want to watch on a big screen, like clicking A and B to...
I'm not saying other people would, but I'm saying, just fucking rent it up by yourself. Go. Here's $150. I'm going to go in there and finish this RPG. I'll catch you guys in a bit.
Would there be any like, how about like, the four-player, was it Pac-Man Championship? Big screen. That's a big screen. They had the big screen ones to begin with that are like 6-foot screens.
Yeah,
they're fantastic.
That would be fun.
That'd be great. I think quick games is for me the way to go. That'd be quick gaming experiences like that.
Yeah.
How about Mappy on the big screen, Ian?
Stressful.
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 Getting away from those cats.
Yeah, getting away from the kitties.
And then I think a good first person shooter. Trying to think. Would Doom? You can see Doom anywhere. It's great. I was trying to say, would you go more political or sprite based for a better experience when it comes to that? And then the last thing I thought about: what if they were games that were like cinematic cutscenes? Like, what was it, Heavy Rain, or the fuck that game was?
Right. Well, that's why I was thinking RPGs. You beat the RPG, you get to see all the big cinematic shit on the big screen. But yeah, like Heavy Rain, God, that guy's writing is atrocious. Heavy Rain, Detroit, fucking
Human?
Beyond.
What is it?
Detroit Become Human, Beyond Two Souls. I don't know, some other fucking fluffy, wankery bullshit. I don't remember what the other one was.
Finnegan Fox, put that on the big screen.
Finnegan Fox on the big screen. I'd play Breakout on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. All right, is that it for that topic?
That's it.
All right. Q&A time on the CU podcast. We haven't done a pure Q&A in a while. This is from Brandon Velasquez. He's gotten a few in here and there. Besides Super Mario Brothers, what other retro games would make fun battle royales? We're cheating a bit, but we don't care. We always thought this would be a good topic, and the Patreon folks never thought so.
We needed something to fill some time. So for me, the thing that I've always thought of is a battle royale shooter. And there's already kind of precedent for it. There are games like Twinkle Star Sprites and Rival Megagun, which is a more modern one that I really like, that are vertical scrolling shooters. And as, it splits the screen in the middle, you're on one side, your opponent, where the computer's on the other side. As you clear chains of enemies, it can send enemies over to your opponent. You can transform into a boss if you fill up a meter and actually go onto their screen and attack them. That's something that I think would actually work really, really well. You could scale that up to, you know, 99 people or 100 people very easily, I think.
Same sort of things where you can attack someone maybe who has most power-ups at the time or most,
similar to, like, Mario 35 or Tetris 99. Yeah, where you can, you know, you flick the joystick to choose whether or not you want it for, yeah, more power-ups, one hit of shield remaining, etc. You can kind of focus in on what you're doing.
A little, would it not work just quite as well? Because in those shooters, if they're on rails, you're not going at your own pace. So, like, if you put 35 guys on the screen in Super Mario Brothers, you could deal with it. 35 guys on the screen in Gradius, you're toast. You know, you can't get around it.
Maybe it's usually every chain of enemies you kill usually sends something.
So you got to kill like five guys or send like maybe one.
Right,
over.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
you would have to
balance it a bit.
You would definitely have to balance it a bit, especially with a ton of players to not completely make it unplayable.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's the one for me. Other ones,
we just brought it up. How about do it with Doom?
Yeah,
that would be outstanding for a first-person shooter like that.
That would be quick too. That would be very fast.
So you all start at the same level. You pick a level, and then whatever you shoot, that enemy. Now I want to see that. That would be incredible. A game like that, because then it's more risk reward. Hey, I'm going to go for the what's the spider guy with the chain gun? I'm going to go try to kill him. Because if that pops up somewhere else, they're going to shred that guy. But it's risky to try to kill him. You know. For a first-person shooter, I think that could be a lot more risk-reward than even Super Mario Brothers for a game like that. Well, I'm salivating at that. Intermittent fasting. I want that done officially. You hear that, id? I want that done. I'm not wearing a sweatshirt this time. But if I was, it would give me more power and weight behind those words. I think Ninja Gaiden would be fantastic to do it. Or Contra, or, you know, action platformer.
Oh, Contra would be a lot of fun to do. In that Mario 35 sort of way.
You already have the power-up system.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a random thing. Maybe you get the spray gun, maybe you get the laser. It's manageable because it's go at your own pace, unlike a shooter. So, like, yeah, if you just throw 50 guys on the screen, you can fend them off in Contra without moving forward. You could do it. It'll be tougher, but you could try.
Yeah, stand your ground.
I'll send the big guy throwing the Frisbees at you, the big neon boss, you know, from the energy field at you. See how you deal with them. That would be interesting. I want to see that too. Let's get that done. Ninja Gaiden would be interesting because you can easily get overwhelmed in Ninja Gaiden versus Contra, even by standard enemies.
Oh yeah,
that creepy witch or whatever throwing the crosses at you.
Yeah, I hate that thing.
You get three on one screen, you're dead. Like, you're done.
Yeah,
you're done. You get knocked back considerably. I think you would have to Ninja Gaiden would almost have to get rid of all the chasms and pitfalls, or else it wouldn't be playable. There's a way to do it. You have to really alter the stages. Contra, you don't have to as much. There's a lot less pitfalls in Contra than Ninja Gaiden, I think, to deal with. I think you'd be in better shape there. Does a driving game make sense to do it with?
I was trying to actually think of how you would do that.
I mean, Mario Kart that's Royale anyway when you think about it.
You could do like a time attack one, but I don't know how you would. You know, you could shave people off as they miss time as they miss checkpoints. But I'm trying to figure out. I haven't thought of a good way to make your run interact with someone else's run. That's what I haven't figured out. What are you going to do? Send over oil slicks? I don't know.
Oh, I was looking at Spy Hunter. Yeah, so Spy Hunter it has to be action oriented.
Yes.
I think it has to be like not a finish line.
It has
to be you will die. So Spy Hunter, yeah, you know, if I run a bulletproof bully off the road, he shows up. Tire Slasher, he shows up.
Yeah, that would be
fun. would get frenzied pretty quickly. But there's almost not enough. It would be too quick though. You'd have to find that perfect balance. I think a game like Ian said, like a shooter, you can do it properly if you do it. A game like Contra, you have to have power ups. A reasonable amount of defense, and I guess if you want to say one hit kills makes it better, Ninja Gaiden is not one hit kill, so you would still get worn down pretty freaking quickly, though, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Time for some voice messages. Anchor.fm/TheCUPodcast. And try to keep it brief. 15, 20 seconds is my sweet spot. You don't have to say, love you, love the show. You have to say, first time, long time. You can just say, hey, my name is Jim. I want to talk about the CDI. Here's my question, and that's it. That's it. All right, so the first one here is from Hopstop.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Ian. It's Travian again. And my question this time is, what's your favorite game on your least favorite console?
Jesus.
And what's your least favorite game on your favorite console?
All right. Is that one we're prepared for? What's your least favorite console? Let's start there.
Least favorite console would be N64. Let's just say that.
Okay, that's easy for you. Then what's your favorite game?
Snowboard Kids or Snowboard Kids 2. I really like the Snowboard Kids games. That's actually pretty easy. That's an easy question for me. I don't like the N64, but there are some games on there that I really like. Pokemon Snap or the Snowboard Kids series would probably be my answer for that easily. Now, my favorite system... let's just say PC Engine, not get into the debate over PC Engine and Game Boy. Least favorite game on the PC Engine.
I'll get back.
Yeah, get back to me on that.
All right, so I'll start with, okay, what's my favorite console? The NES, gun to my head. What's my least favorite game on the NES? Now, I'm trying to think of, the worst games aren't my least favorite games. So, like, Uncanny X-Men is not my least favorite game. I get a weird joy out of playing that awful game somehow. So, like, it appeals to me. So, that doesn't count.
No.
It doesn't count. Or, like, Action 52, you kind of like, oh, look how horribly this is done. I'm going to say Where's Waldo. You can't make that game fun. It's not so bad, it's bad. It's just so bad. Or it's not so bad, it's good. It's just so bad, it's horrible. Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Half star, according to a certain NES guidebook, and it's lucky he got a half star. It's lucky you got a half star.
Man, I wish Where's Waldo was on the PC Engine, so because I could. That would be a very easy graphics answer.
Would be you could actually see where he was on that with the 16-bit graphics on there.
That hurt. Someone made me play that over the marathon, and
because you don't even see.
It doesn't help that the colors are kind of washed out on that monitor that we used, and I'm colorblind. Oh, trying to find Waldo was just like I'm in pain just thinking about it.
But like, even when you see, oh, that could be Waldo. Like, you're still guessing. Oh, there's like, I can almost make out a stripe and a hat. It's like impossible to see. It's impossible. The sequel is a lot better because like you can see stuff.
Yeah.
Now they figure that out a few years later. Fucking Waldo. How did that become a thing when we still went to bookstores? Remember bookstores? Waldo. What was that, 90? 89, 90? Where's Waldo? I mean, I had collector cards that used to come with a cereal. Oh, collector Where's Waldo, and you get the weird face case. Creepy-ass Waldo. Sorry. What's the other one? Favorite game on my least favorite system? What would you think my least favorite system is? I'm trying to think what my least favorite system would be. I'm going to be funny and say Genesis. That's not my least favorite, but... what's my least favorite system? Vectrex? I like the Vectrex.
Yeah, I don't know what your least favorite system is.
Intellivision? I've not played a huge amount of Intellivision. RCA Studio 2. What's my favorite game on the RCA Studio 2? There you go. What's my favorite game on the RCA Studio 2? This is not going to work out well for people listening, because I'll just pick out a random-ass game. Like, I don't know, baseball is great. It's hard for me to think of that.
I will... I've got one. I'll go with...
So we actually had the opposite.
Right. I'll go with Toilet Kids on the PC Engine. It's a fucking awful game. I got it for cheap. It's not a cheap game. I got it for like $40 through work years and years and years and years ago. I think it's like $200 something now. I do not recommend spending $200 on Toilet Kids.
Is it really that much? I think I bought it when it was like $60 or $70.
I think it's like $200 now or $150.
Why?
Because it's fucking called Toilet Kids.
And there's poop on the cover.
And there's poop on the cover. In the intro, is a little boy who walks into a bathroom, pulls his pants down, sits on the toilet, and water launches him up into the air, and then the game begins. It's a funny beginning for a game.
I think I own it. It's going for $160. Buy it now.
Unfortunately, it plays like shit. It's one of those games where, like,
I think I have.
No pun intended.
I think it's next to Batman. It's to the left of Batman. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Where's Batman?
To the right of the gold one. Yeah, it's one of those two. To the left. Hue card. Left of Batman. It's either that or the one next to it.
That's a two. Anyways, Doesn't matter. Shitty game. The problem is enemies are just bullet sponges.
Oh, okay.
Like, they take fucking... You just sit there and mash. And the enemies take forever to kill, and it's hard. It's impossible to get anywhere. Yeah, it sucks.
That's sort of like Gradius. You're on your power pea shooter. It takes, like, 7 hits to hit some of those enemies.
I have said... And I've been very vocal about it. I am not a fan of the Gradius series, but Gradius, granted, this is a... Toilet Kids is a vertical... is a vertical scroller, and Gradius is a horizontal, but it makes Gradius look like fucking fine art. And I generally do not like the Gradius games. I don't think you have it.
It's mainly in the top right shelf. I definitely have it. That's one of the few games I actually was looking for.
Oh, okay.
If not, now I'll be crazy and buy it. Plus, the pool looks like cupcakes when it's holding it. When it's holding on the screen there.
Look, I feel like there definitely could have been an amusing game there. They just had to make it remotely playable.
Make a good game first. Yeah. And I'll throw the poo on top.
Right.
Start with a good game.
It could have been the best game on the system, but instead it's the worst.
Make it a cute 'em up, but it's a poo 'em up.
Poo 'em up.
There you go.
Poop 'em up.
Yeah, I couldn't think of one. Sorry, I was really trying to think of a best game on a least favorite system, and I really can't think of it because there's not a lot of best games for me on least favorite systems. If you want to say Atari's not my least favorite system, I love Keystone Capers.
Keystone Capers.
I always come back to Keystone Capers. All right, what's next here?
Hi, Pat and Ian. This is Gary from South Jersey. Do you guys ever think that video game prices will ever drop to where the low point that it was in like the 90s? Or do you think it'll always have some kind of value?
No, I don't think they'll ever hit the low point of the 90s.
And well,
I mean, when you say
about?
90s, I think you mean like old NES. There is always going to be a lowest point for games. And as I've talked about working at the store, I think it's usually one generation past is where games are at their lowest point. So when like the PS5 and the Xbox Series X are out now, I think PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 games are probably at their lowest value.
You don't think they'll ever be lower than that 25 years from now?
I mean, maybe. I'm talking about something that we're realistically going to see. I mean, they might be lower than that. I think that video games in general are valued more now than they were in the 90s. So, no, not every game is going to be worth something. But I don't think...
I'm just using a general scale.
I don't think video games are going to be worthless. No.
But he didn't ask that. He said, well, the prices go back down.
I mean, they'll go back down at some point, but I don't think they're ever going to I don't think anything that was at a low point in the 90s is ever going to necessarily re-hit that super low point. Not entirely.
Wait, did he say 90s? What did he say? What was his verbiage?
He said 90s.
Well, 90s still... NES games were still new. So, like, even used... So, I'm going to just say yes. The prices will go back down. Oh, does he mean new games?
In, like, the 90s? Or do you think it'll always have some kind of value? Do you guys ever think that video game prices will ever drop to where the low point...
I think he's talking used.
But the used games weren't a low point in the 90s. For like, Atari games were worth more money in the 90s.
Stuff like NES was dime a dozen.
Not according to Funko Land. There's used games for $25, $40. Bonks was expensive. I mean, let's put it this way. In 20 years, NES games cards will not be worth as much as they are now. I will stake almost anything on that. 20 years from now, those games will not be worth as much. On average.
Of course. I just don't know that they'll ever hit their lowest point again.
Model trains, dude. Model trains.
Well, yeah.
There's always a... Your kids won't care about the NES games, and their kids won't care. They'll care even less. It'll just keep slipping down away. Next here.
Hey, guys. Alex from Wisconsin here. Wondering, with the amount of lawsuits abroad in places like France against things like microtransactions, do you feel like we will see anything similar to that in the States? Because there are series like Madden whose creators have bemoaned the rise of microtransactions ruining the game.
It'll be tougher because we have all of these 50 states here. That it's a little more cumbersome. I think it can. I think is there enough political will or people care enough for federal law to be put in place to go after this? Like, is that really on the totem pole?
I don't think anything will happen because capitalism.
Well, it's happening in Europe though. They're
less capitalistic than we are.
Okay, I think there's enough political will to do it here.
Hey, Pat and Ian. Please tell us the story of how you met each other and how Pat convinced Ian to partake in his videos. Thanks.
How did we meet, Ian?
You showed up at the store.
It was a sunny July 2008 day.
You know, perhaps better than I do. It was sunny. There was no sun inside. The sun always shines on TV.
It was probably a Thursday. Day before I would have saw Zack Snyder's Watchmen trailer at Comic-Con.
Oh, that was it. It was Comic-Con. Yeah,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know how he talked me into the videos, though.
Well, you were pretending to be, I guess you wanted to be friendly. And
yeah. I said, sure. And we did it.
You had fun doing Caltron.
It was all right, yeah. That one was pretty good. It was easy to sit.
Took us like 2.5 hours to do that before opening, right?
Yeah, it did. It sure did.
That's it? Okay. That's how I convinced Ian. Well, we went to a swap meet together.
You did not go through these questions this time, did you?
No, I went through them. Why? What are you saying that?
I don't have a lot of interesting answers
for
these so far.
This is Cliff Conway, longtime fan of you guys. I met you both 3 or 4 times at the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo. My question to you is, what do you guys think of the LA area, specifically Pasadena, where 2019's Expo was? Thanks, guys. Bye.
Is he on the Pasadena local tourism board? I like Pasadena.
I did too.
It's cut. I don't consider that LA. It's cut off from LA. It's like its own little enclave. It's like boxed in. It's a great little community. It's like upper middle class. I like Pasadena a lot.
I used to always say LA is fine if you get there after sunsets and you get out before sunrises. But I don't. I have not ever considered myself a big fan of the Los Angeles area.
I don't like it.
After a few recent trips up there with Vani and friends, in the past couple of years, my opinions on LA have grown. I like it more than I did, but it's still not my favorite city. I would never choose to live there. As far as Pasadena specifically, I really liked the location of the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo in 2019. Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, it was great.
It was really
2 years
nice.
Ago.
It was that little downtown little commerce area was nice. Yeah. It's weird to say, be like, oh, I enjoyed the shopping and commercial district, but that's where they put you for these things, and that's
nice.
Generally where you're stuck for the conventions. And it was a nice area,
nice neighborhoods.
There's some good restaurants and
nice
stuff.
Residential
in the area. There's a really good French bakery there.
If I had to live in LA, I'd live in Pasadena, commuting.
Yeah,
a half hour.
So yeah, I thought Pasadena was pretty cool.
Hey, Pat and Ian. This is Sebastian from Alabama. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on COVID affecting the prices of slightly older games like the GameCube and Wii era, where games like Wii Sports even tripling or quadrupling in value almost overnight. Do you think that these prices are here to stay, or do you think that they are going to go back down eventually?
I don't think prices are here to stay.
I don't think they're going to drop nearly as quick as people want them to.
Who wants them to?
Consumers
want
them to, because people are paying $20 for copies of Wii Sports, $25 for copies of Wii Sports Resort, and I've had people tell me when they buy them that that's cheaper than what they're going for on places like Craigslist.
Wow.
Did
people really just rediscover video games because of COVID? A lot of people?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Wow. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, these are conversations that I have over and over every single day. After the first couple months, it seemed like, well, it might have been anything that people could do was, seeing a boom. But there are, I'm sure I've seen some articles on it, but you talk to people in the video game industry, it's not video games and all forms of entertainment. It really is specifically video games are seeing a resurgence right now, because that's what people think to do. And yeah, for I've talked about how 360, PS3, and Wii remotes are basically impossible to keep in stock right now. And every day, I get multiple calls for all three.
What does a Wiimote go for?
30 to 35 at this point.
Used?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They made millions of those.
Yeah, but they're nowhere.
A hundred millions.
They're absolutely fucking...
They're in people's closets.
Nowhere. I think the thing is not so much in people's closets. People are using them. people starting, so throughout the entirety of the pandemic, people have been rediscovering games, but especially starting in November and December, we started to get a lot of calls for those controllers. And my thought has always been people are digging up their old consoles for times that they would normally spend with their family, and they need controllers because people always lose something. And I've had numerous customers verify that that is, in fact, exactly what happened.
Nintendo, you're sitting on a gold mine. Get the Wii plant back up and make some Wiimotes.
I was bored, so I pulled the 360 out, but I couldn't find a remote. Sure. You know, I was going to go spend holidays with my family, but it's only going to be four of us. I'm taking the Wii, and I have two controllers. And that's...
Family, friends.
It's friends, family, together. That is always the story. It's just... lost it. Lost myself.
All right, next question.
Hey, Pat and Ian, this is Casey, a.k.a. Delish Hot Schmoes on Twitter.
What?
And my question is simply this. Do either of you enjoy musicals? And if so, what are your favorites? And what are your least favorites?
I don't have a lot of musical experience. I'm not a musical person. I've seen two or three on Broadway, and I'm just not the guy. It's the length. They're like 3.5 hours. They forced us to see My Fair Lady in eighth grade, and that was a horrific experience. That went on forever. And it was really for the freaking teachers and the moms of it, because, oh, we want to see Richard Chamberlain. And when you're like 14 watching My Fair Lady, you want to shoot yourself. It's the worst thing in the world. But there's good musicals. I'm not saying, like, I'm just not the person. I've seen Mamma Mia for a Valentine's Day. I think I described in the podcast before. That was fun. That's not 4 hours, though. It's got to be a very specific... I saw the... what's the one with the dirty adult humor one with the Muppets?
Avenue Q.
Yeah, they had that up. They had that in Newport. I like every once in a while. I like them. I enjoy them.
Fair.
But I'm not a musical... I'm purely musical guy, though. It's not me.
I'm not huge on musicals either. I love music, but... musicals in general, I'm not a huge fan on the song as exposition format.
Yeah.
That said, I saw Hairspray in theaters with my ex-girlfriend at the time, because I really liked the John Waters movie, and I thought the musical adaptation of it was actually pretty fun. So when people are like, do you like musicals? I don't even know if people like that adaptation of it, the movie adaptation, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. And I did see Cats when I was a kid. My parents...
Oh, you did?
My parents took my... Because I had the... My grandmother had the T.S. Eliot's Book of Cats that the musical is based off of. And I remember reading those poems when I was young, and my grandma being like, oh, Cats is coming. And I...
Oh, my God. They made us sing the songs in music class.
I can't remember if she, like, bought the tickets and my parents took us or what. But, yeah, my brother, myself, and I went and saw Cats. We got all dressed up and went and saw that, the musical performance.
Now it's coming back to me. My crazy... music teacher in Catholic school made us fucking sing the songs from Cats. Why would you do that to kids that are like in second, third, fourth grade? Why would you do that?
I always wish I enjoyed musicals more. They seem kind of like a joyful, rambunctious thing. But
they also make us. She also made us sing Phantom of the Opera because that was big in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, that was huge. Ads for like 5 years about fucking Phantom of the Opera at the Pantages Theater in Toronto, Ontario.
Well, you grew up in New Jersey. Everything's Broadway. So
sure.
Cats, now and forever at the Winter Garden Theater. You grew up in New Jersey, New York. You saw that commercial 70,000 times as a kid. It wasn't forever, by the way. It ended. Was that late 90s it finally ended?
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those were forever for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, like, yeah. Once you reach 20 years of playing a musical, that's a long time.
Phantom of the Opera ran at the Pantages Theater for, I think, 5 or 6 years. Like, anyone who wanted to see that saw it multiple times.
Made us sing the fucking songs. And not just the A side, the B side we sang as well. It was really nice. All right, a couple more here.
Whoa, now is the See You podcast. Hey, what's up, Uncle Pat? What's up, Uncle Ian? Jay Wills here from London again. Just a quick one.
Jay, it's not quick if you sing the whole intro before everybody. It's no longer quick. Just let you know. I love you, Jay, but it's not quick anymore.
And the Mario Game & Watch, the 30th anniversary one. And I was thinking, how am I so shit at this game? I don't know what's going on. Is it getting up in age? What's going on, man? I'm touching 30 now. When I was a kid, I was way better at these games. Opinions and thoughts. Holla at your squalor.
All right, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay. I hope you're well. Why are you shit at the Game & Watch? I don't know. I'm better at these games when I was a kid. My reflexes I've gotten probably peaked in my 20s. When I was a kid, they were terrible. So I don't know.
I feel like I'm better at games now than I was. But Vani has been going through that question, and it was humorous. It was actually that exact thing. Her brother got her the Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch for Christmas, and she was trying to play it the other night, and she's like,
She was trying to play the ball or the Super Mario Brothers?
Super Mario Brothers. Okay. And she was like, how did I hit 40? And like, now I, like, she made it to the end, like, she made it to 2-4, and she, like, died, and she was like, I don't know how the fuck I used to do this.
It's because I think, well, if you start playing games that don't require twitchy reflexes, you're playing your Pokemon games and you're playing your Animal Crossing that are like more slow. You might lose it. You got to keep the muscle going.
But she's got like 500 hours in Splatoon. I mean, that's Twitch. That's twitchy
okay,
stuff.
But that's not life or death. Like, you can't slip up even slightly in Super Mario Bros. You're dead. Like, there's less room for error versus. I see what you're saying about a first person shooter. There's more room for error.
Sure,
but I see what you're saying. A couple more here. Let's see.
Hey, Pat. Wanted to say I didn't mean to call you out on the Fish Days thing, so sorry it came across like that. I thought the same thing as you until I had majored in the field. I was trying more for Good News and Still Encourage since you said you wish they brought it back. You don't have to play this, just felt bad it roped you the wrong way.
It's okay, Brian. It really didn't bother me about our theology and eating fish. I just wish they brought it back, eating fish on Friday. Everyone would be healthier. Just eating fish on every Friday when you're Catholic. Okay, a couple more. That was short.
Hey, guys. Chris again. If you could take any pre-existing game or game series and make a spinoff in a different genre, what would it be and why?
Mappy Land Racers, Ian?
Yeah, why not? Oh, actually, I have an answer to this. Vocaloids. Hatsune Miku.
What?
Vocaloids.
I never heard of that. Vocaloids?
Hatsune Miku, the girl with the blue hair. You know her. Vocaloids are personifications of voice synthesis software that was at one point in time made by Yamaha. They are huge. You absolutely have seen plenty of Vocaloids, Pat.
The toy? Where are they?
No, they're literally an advertising persona. They made a bunch of music games with Vocaloids. I would like to see a Vocaloid game that plays like Hyrule Warriors or Dynasty Warriors.
Where was this advertising? Magazines with these people? Are they're anime characters?
Yes.
Never seen it in my life, Ian. Being totally honest. And I had a synthesizer. I had a Yamaha. AN1H.
All right. Onward.
Okay, I'll skip that one. And one more. Sorry. I just didn't. I never answered it. Okay. I just never heard of that ever. You're just like, you definitely did. I'm like, I haven't.
You've seen Hatsune Miku. There's no way you haven't. She's like a fucking Disney character. She's everywhere.
I don't know. How do you spell that? Hatsune?
M-I-K-U.
M-I-K-U. Oh, Miku. Okay, have I seen... Oh, yeah, the long... Yeah, she has the long,
yes,
weird hair.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Schoolgirl outfit. She overage? Is she legal? One more.
Hey, Pat and Ian. This is Brennan. Last time I asked about Richie Mahjong. This time, everyone knows the NWC. If you were to have your own tournament cart for any special occasion, what three games would you put on it? Doesn't matter the system, hue card included, no CDs. And what are the parameters, such as the limited amount of time to collect 50 coins in Super Mario?
I think we did this question like a year and a half ago.
We did,
2 years
Q&A.
Ago. I'll think of a new NES one, and I'll try to think of it, another one. We did do a full segment if you want to search for this. I'll pick three NES games. I'll try to keep it coin collecting. I'll try to do like coin collecting, a racing, and something. And I'll get puzzle. There's not many good puzzle games on the NES, but I left Dr. Mario. All right.
I'll do Strip Fighter 2, High Leg Fantasy, and one other one.
Well, you got to do a Strip Fighter. You got to de-pants the girl? What do you
want? First boobs you see.
First boobs you see?
First boobs you see.
But special moves, you can see the boobs. You got to defeat the character.
How quick to boobs?
How quick to boobs? Okay. All right. You're not taking this serious. Okay.
No.
You're destroying the integrity of the question.
I cannot. We already did this and I don't remember.
I'll do one.
You do it.
I'll do one. NES. I'm trying to be serious. Quickest to destroying the first level boss in Contra. There you go. There's one. You got to get through three laps of whatever race you choose in Excitebike. I think that'd be exciting
yep.
for a race one. And third, what's a good third one? Baseball Stars Home Run Derby. There you go. That's what I'll do.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
The most home runs you can get in using the Babe Ruth knockoff. Because he half the time, you know, on the what the hell is the team? I can't wait, I forget the name of the team. What was the All-Stars?
I think it was like the All-Americans.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
His name was Ruth. And he batted from the left. It was Babe Ruth. There you go. That's my three. There, I took it seriously. And the integrity is intact for the voice messages. What are you looking up? The name of the star?
I was trying to look at the name of the team, but I couldn't find
could
it.
Have been, I think it was All-Americans. It was All-Americans. God, I love baseball stars.
American Dreams.
American Dreams. How do I forget that? I should be shot. One of my favorite NES games. I forgot it. All right. Well, that's it for this.
That's it.
See you podcast.
We got one out of there.
Thanks for trolling us, everyone out there that's doing a game console. You really got one over on us. You really, 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 really affected us there.
He definitely looked like the smart one.
You're the guy. You're the guy. And, yeah, we'll see you in a week. Ian's got to do some pot stickers. Pot stickers. Pot stickers. Mushu pork.
I'm off to the post office.
All right, Vanessa Angel, I'll slip into your DMs. I'll find out where you are on social media. All right. Have a good one, everyone.